there today. The first six verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, otherwise I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Heavenly Father, thank you for making one of the sad things of our day is that people aren't as concerned about history as they once were. The problem is that if you don't know history, you're sort of condemned to making the same mistakes that have already been made and paid for. The rage today is futurology. What's the future hold for us? What will life be like? I can't remember the specific dates. I can just remember the gist of something I read. That's rather amusing, and I thought I'd share it with you. Someone wrote back in the 1800s, if the present trend continues, the roads of Manhattan will be covered with 2 feet of horse manure by such and such a date, only to find that when that date came, they were covered with cars instead. What if? How about your projection of the future? Have you ever driven up to the gas pump with that little bit of a nightmare of a couple of years ago of waiting on lines and say, what happens if the oil stops? And we all know that it's going to stop. The supply is not unlimited. What's going to happen? What if a new energy, powerful energy, very economical and easily transportable came to be? Would that fill your heart with joy? Would the prosperity that it brought be a help or a hindrance? You know, we sort of assume some things. Read something about what a new energy source to Norway meant in terms of a nation getting too rich and the problems that creates. What happens if there is a cancer cure, and we all hope and pray for something like that, any of us who have watched a loved one die of that dread disease? Any of us who lived through the polio fright of the summers of not too many decades ago, and then to find that just eating a sugar cube with some drug on it, or whatever it is, what is it? An antibody, isn't it? Something like that. And that horror is gone. If any of your friends were ever gripped with that crippling disease and had to be confined to a wheelchair or worse, maybe an iron lung, the rest of their life. What if some of these things? What if? What if? What if? Some of you know that I'm working very hard on a study program that's coming to an end, praise God. And you know, just looking at the bulletin here, and it says Monday, April 24th, and I say, oh, 30 days to go. You know, it really does something to you. And I've watched that calendar, and I've watched the days tick off for months now, for months. And I knew that at certain points I'd have to be at a certain place. I knew that if I came to 1 month to go, and I hadn't written to a lot of the churches in Oregon and questioned a lot of the pastors in New Jersey about what I'm studying, that it would be too late now, right? Even though I could get probably some extensions, but Why get into that? You still have to face that final day. So I set small deadlines. And even if I didn't meet it rigidly, if I met it within a couple of days, that was a success. And then it gets to be that, you know, every hour begins to mean something. And you wake up early in the morning. And you've been thinking about this all night, it seems. And you got to get cranking and doing. You know, the thought occurred to me that in some way, this is the kind of life we're all living. Did you know that? Oh yeah, I have a school date, May 24th, and I have to produce something by that day in keeping with what I proposed to my advisor. That's a date that's been set for me. And I live in the light of that date, and all of my days are planned around that date. But what about the date that God set for us all? What about that date? Acts 17:31. For he has set a day. We all have a date. We all have a day. Oh, it hasn't been declared to us what day. But God, in his own mind, has set a day, and then it's done. It's finished. Life is over. Life as we know it is complete. God set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Now, I have another date, and that was just set this week, and that is that I have to send my paper in on May 24th, but on July 3rd, between 9 and 12 o'clock in the morning, I sit with a faculty committee and am expected to give a good account of myself and what I've done. That bothers me a little bit. It doesn't bother me so much as the first date. I figure if I can make the first date, I'll make the second date. But think about that date when you're going to have to stand before God and give an account for yourself. And this is no whistling in the dark, right? He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. You have a moment of doubt, just remember, Jesus is alive, and that's the proof that the day is coming and the examination is sure. Really, knowing that there is a day like this coming, shouldn't it affect us? I want to give you a test tonight. I want you to share with me, what are the facts that we know? Futurology is big business. They don't base it on the Word of God, and therefore we know more than they do. We know more than the PhDs in this field. What are the facts that you know? Let's see how many facts we can put down. Now, there's one hitch. You got to give me a Bible verse for each fact you give me. Okay? All right. Who'll be first? Okay, Mark. Speak nice and loud. We want everybody. You know, this is a good time to get voice lessons. Okay, Mark, go to it. Can he? Okay. There are three facts there, right? One, well, let's put it as one. Destruction of our world. Okay? Again, knowing that that's being told to you for a reason, right? Bible prophecy is for a reason. Not that you can go around smug and say, oh, I know what's going to happen, you know, this, this, and this, and get out the chart and lay it all out there for you. What's the reason that that fact is given to you? Do you see it there, Mark?
everything will be as good in this way. What kind of people are God going to be?
Okay. Okay. The personal responsibility. How should you live knowing everything's going to be destroyed? All right. How would you live today if you knew tomorrow was going to be a stock crash? How would you live if you knew the stock market was going to crash? You'd be down there on the exchange first thing in the morning, wouldn't you? Cashing it all in. Okay. Well, somebody else give us a fact. Okay. Mira?
You mentioned the shortage of gas. Well, we have to buy the war running. And regardless of whether gas is short, the rate of the knowledge
Okay, so you would say the fact for the future is that we would have our needs met. Okay? That's not your wants, right? That means you might have to walk. Right? Might be good for some of us. Okay? What's the reason for that fact? Yeah, why did God give you that fact? Somebody's going to help? God gave it so you wouldn't be anxious, right? He knows that anxiety hurts you. Okay, another. Tom? Okay. Okay.
1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 16, the word himself shall be sent from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay. That one has a reason for giving you that fact. What is it?
For hope.
Right. Well, yeah, for hope. It's more specific than that. Comfort, right? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay. Good. Okay. Any more facts? Are they getting harder to come by now? I want to see how far you can go. Who's got a fact? Christ is coming back again. We could spend a whole lot of time just on that fact. The first time he came incognito, the second time he's not coming incognito. Right? That's what Tom gave us. Yeah. So. Okay, sorry. Okay. Another fact? Kathy?
But as a result, the Messiah will be widely known and honored.
therefore, don't be concerned about how to command you to the charge of command you. For I will give you the right words and such logic that none of your opponents will be able to reply. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you and have you arrested, and some of you will be killed. And everyone will hate you because you are mine and are called by my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. For if you stand firm, you will be your children. So there's going to be a lot of persecution
and turmoil. Okay. It's another fact. Again, don't be anxious. Yes. 1 Okay. That's one to give you comfort today, isn't it? He shall reign. He will be the king. Every knee will bow to him. Okay. Very interesting. Some more facts. Yes. Dick.
John 2:1, the brilliant. Then you may assume we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteousness.
Okay.
In fact, we have an advocate.
Right. Thinking about judgment and standing before God and giving an account. Have you ever asked your lawyer who's going to represent him when he stands before God? Huh? You ever think of that? I'm dying to ask that from a lawyer to a lawyer. Yeah, Mary Jane. Give me that address again. Nobody heard that, did they? I liken the turmoil of the days to come to what Israel was going through as they lived in Egypt when Egypt began to suffer the wrath of God before the Exodus. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Joe. Okay. What is the fact there? Right. Do you think God responds to the many people that are coming to know the Lord today? That's true, isn't it? That's one of the reasons we're still here. God wants everybody to know. Okay. Any other facts? Howard.
Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus when certain things would occur. He mentioned that not one stone would be left on another of the temple. And he went through all this word here, showing the end time would be like, and the verses 1 through 42 of chapter 19:24. And the reason he did that, he said, therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. And he cautioned them basically to, now you know the facts and be prepared.
Okay. Paul says the same thing in 2 Thessalonians, that he said, this day is going to come like a thief in the night, but you're not of the night, you're of the day. You should understand that. Okay? Any other facts? Yes, Chris.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Mark again. Then we'll get Joe back.
But Mark said there will be several times in the last days people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, fear, lovers of pleasure, sons and mothers of God, having a form of godliness and denying itself.
Hold your Bible up, Mark. Remember that saying I couldn't remember what the saying was a couple of weeks ago in the bulletin, right? Yeah, right. That's the one. That's beautiful. Okay. Joe. Okay. Your walk and your talk has to correspond. Okay? You can't talk your way into heaven. Yes.
Revelation 13:16 says he called all small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell except if he had that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So I think it's saying that there'll be no transactions.
Yeah, a lot of people look at that and they think about the computers and all these numbers that we're getting.
It's already, I mean, they use it, they let other guys use it, they're not.
Yeah. Okay. Any more? We've done a lot. John.
Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not store up for yourself the perishable earth, for the moth wants to destroy it, where thieves break in and steal. I'll store up for yourself the perishable earth.
Amen. One more. Steve. I know the feeling. Now we've talked about the fact. Sort of like my deadline, right? It should possess us. It should grip us. It's amazing how many passages we talked about tonight, right off the top of our head. Passages that have become real to us, because we could put our fingers on them quite quickly, couldn't we? All right. That's the fact. There's a day coming. God said it. God not only said it, He set it. Now, as I've had something to do working for my deadline, what are we supposed to be doing? I set a lot of little goals for myself, didn't I, along the way. I have to have some of those goals accomplished already. Praise God, I got them accomplished. I'm still in the running. What are the goals, knowing the facts that we know and that we've just read in the Word of God? What are some of the goals that we should be working toward? Can anybody give me those? Joanne, did you say something?
Yeah, I have to say something.
Okay. Can anybody help Joanne with that scripture passage? Okay. And you got Ephesians chapter 4? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have something? Yes, John. Okay, I put that one down as a real important fact. It's a 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Hey, what happens if you come into God's presence and he gives you a Bible quiz? Maybe more embarrassing would be to be in heaven by the skin of your teeth. I shouldn't have said that. That's theologically wrong, right? We're in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But say that you've neglected a lot of these other things that we're talking about, and you're just there on the basis of what Christ did, and you haven't prepared for it other than that in any way. What happens if you stand next to this guy and you don't know who he is, and he's actually Isaiah or Jeremiah or somebody like that? I don't know. That's what I have nightmares about. What do you have nightmares about? Okay. That's one goal that we should have. Tom, when are you going to give the course again? In a couple weeks? Okay. What's the name of it again? The Equipment Room, and the book is? Okay, there's your opportunity. Okay, if you're studying in another portion and you want to incorporate that into the incorporate the techniques of that course into what you're doing, maybe you've got a Bible class and you can't study for the Bible class and do this too. Tom says he's willing to adjust so that you could do your work in whatever you're studying in the Bible. Okay, and apply the principles of Bill Lincoln's book. If you get turned on to that inductive Bible study, your life will never be the same again. You'll see things. You'll have a new security of getting into the Word and feeding yourself. It's tremendous. That's one of the goals. That's very definite. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Okay, do your best. All right. Is there another goal? Yes, Tom. Okay. How did I let you sit down through two volunteer sessions here, and I didn't get you up on your feet? How come I didn't get you up on your feet? You sat. Oh, all right. Okay. What are we supposed to be doing? Put it in your own words, Tom. Loud. You won't be too busy. Okay? Anyone else have a goal? John?
Tomorrow I'm singing next week. I'm going to be early talking about this same question that was asked in the last. What does the Lord require of you? Combine it with Satan to find the answer. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to do justice, and to walk humbly with your God? Which implies that you should be having a walk and you should be a humble one.
Okay. Morton?
James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, but deceive yourself to do what it says.
Okay. The walk and talk again. Yes, Pam?
Well, I think you can get the whole scripture in Matthew 1:13 and 5. It starts out there for being the image of God.
Right. I've really got to forgive people, don't I? That's really a requirement of me. I have to forgive. As I've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, I've got to forgive other people. That's a must. I can't get around it. I've got to be a forgiving person. Okay. That's good. And this is where you're imitating God. Bill. Okay, you're the wave of the future, okay? You live in a new world and a new, and it begins right now, right? Eternity is not an extent, it's a quality. It is an extent, but it's a quality also. The extent hasn't begun. We're, if you're my age, you've begun the downward trend, right? Your body is decaying, it's falling apart, it's getting weaker, all of the rest of the things. My wife didn't know that. And but we're part of that new age. See, that's already begun for us. And what Bill is talking about, that's how it's begun. See, that's the evidence of it. Okay? Someone else. Somebody on this side. Sally. Okay? They that win souls shall shine as the stars in the heaven. Right? Okay. 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 That's a goal. One goal that I had down was that there should be a drive in my life. Right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do. There must be a drive, an impetus, a force in my life driving me on. Right? Philippians 2. Okay, somebody else. We've got a few more. Dick? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Suzanne. Yeah. Right. Right. Doug.
One of the books that was the one that I had all designed, Philippians 3 says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has called me.
Right. Okay. John? Okay. Make the best use of your time, right? Anyone else? Yeah. Rich.
First Thessalonians 5:21. Test everything, hold on to good, avoid every kind of evil. God himself, God, be sanctified.
Okay. I've got to be discerning. I had one from Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor of God. Somewhere along the line, I've got to get into the fight. Okay? Somewhere along the line, I have to declare myself in such a way that I'm in the fight against principalities and powers, against rulers, right? All of that. Somewhere along the line, I have to declare myself in such a way that I'm in the fight and that I'm on the right side. But the one that I'm surprised that you didn't come up with, should I give you a chance to tell me, well, I had my finger in that passage. The one that I'm surprised you didn't come up with is the one in 2 Peter 1. 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now we touch that with what Tom said. And to goodness, knowledge. And we touch that with what John said. And to knowledge, self-control. Did anybody mention that one? Yeah. And to self-control, perseverance. When everything goes wrong, do you continue to trust God? and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now let me read the rest of the passage. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've heard the song, we agree with it. What the world needs now is love. We agree with that. We also would agree that oftentimes the church is too short on it. We agree with that. But for us to say, well, I'm going to love everybody, might be jumping the gun. And I think what this passage is suggesting is that there is an orderly way to build your life, to prepare you for that day, so that Jesus can give you, what is it? A rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love is the ultimate goal of it, but it starts with adding to your faith, as if you're a newborn Christian, add to that goodness. And add to the goodness knowledge. And to the knowledge self-control. Do you see how it begins to build? And then as you move along, the ultimate thing there is love. Maybe if you've been struggling with loving people, it's because you've jumped up ahead. You know, you've gone to the back of the book and you haven't come in an orderly way in building your life so that you'll have that rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I struggle with that date, May 24th, and it ticks away and the days pass and it's always before me. But there's a date always before each one of us, and it's the day that God has chosen to end it all, and he's pledged to us that he's going to be there, and that's Jesus Christ, because he's alive from the dead. Let's pray together.
Has conquered the foe and now liveth for Jesus the glorious, worthy to sit on the throne, matchless in splendor, coming in power, ever to reign with his own. He who was slain for our sins and transgression has conquered the foe and now liveth forever. Him would I follow.